Ricey and Reavers with the baseball podcast. The Twins are have not yet lost on Wednesday here, so we're a little we're doing a little ahead of time. At this point, at about noon on Wednesday, the fellas are 0-4 in 7-inning games and 0-2 in 10-inning games. They need 9 innings. Nothing.
So we're 6-3 in 9-inning games.
6-3 in real baseball games, not doing well in the other games. We have a slight hamstring tightness with the big fella Miguel. We got the bad toe with Nelson. We got Kepler having the COVID. He actually has the COVID, right? And Thielbar is proximity. He's got the other thing. And you know what?
Other than that?
We talked about this last week. Baseball seasons, the Faribault Lakers can tell us this. Baseball seasons, sometimes everything comes together.
Yep.
Sometimes, if you're not, you know... If you're not the cheating Chanhassen Redbirds who have many, many...
Why are you trying to get me into trouble?
Have much depth, you know, that you can overcome obstacles. Or the Dodgers, let's say, even the Yankees, who can buy their way out of a mess. If you're the Twins, they're either going to go good or bad, but damn... Does this look like 2011, doesn't it?
It really does. And Pat, it's the line you're looking for is it either all comes together or it's a bleep storm.
Yes, it is. And, you know, 2011, I've told this story 50 times, nobody that I ran into that spring, and by the way, Twins attendance that spring was huge. Oh, every game was
the
sold
buzz
out.
Off the new stadium and everything.
Yeah,
Maurer's contract.
Yeah, the second year of the new ball. No, second year of the new ballpark. But the first year was 94 wins, 3 million people. Jim Thome, you know, the whole thing. You know, Jim Thome, we'll be right back. After 8 minutes, and. The only thing anyone asked me was that spring, hey, Ricey, can we beat the Yankees in the playoffs? That's the only thing. And I certainly didn't see disaster, but I remember saying, I'm a little worried about the pitching. I wouldn't worry about it. I think there might be other things to worry about than the Yankees in October. And they'd go like that. And then, of course... they started terrible. They had a little run. Mackey put out the, what was it? It's Happening t-shirt. What's the,
oh, yeah. That's when we went. Remember, the run was right after the All-Star break, wasn't it?
I don't know. They got the 44-49.
But didn't they have the best record in baseball for a stretch of
maybe
about
a month.
25 games or whatever
something
it was?
Like that. It's happening. And they still were under 500. And then they closed 19-50.
Oof.
19-50, and they ended up just missing 100 losses, 63-99.
In fact, remember, that was the source of a great Joe Souchere tirade. Do you remember that?
What?
When they avoided the 100th loss, and they won it in the bottom of the ninth, and they celebrated on the field, and Joe about went ballistic.
The celebration on the field, that did not do him. Yeah, so I mean, it's got that feel. And here's one thing: I look at this team, oldest team in baseball.
I was going to get to that.
I think Phil Miller had a piece. Before the season, right when the season started, or maybe after the first series, that they are the oldest team in baseball. And, you know, it's a little distorted with Cruz and you know, a couple of that. But this is not a young team that you can count on being better in August. You know, this is a bunch of wily old veterans trying to hang on. And when that kind of a team hits the wall, you know, Sano's 27, looks like he's going on 40.
That's what
And I mean, it just, the vibe is horrible.
Well, Pat,
the vibe is horrible, and now they're stuck out in California. They don't know if they're going to have a team to put on the field. Then they get to come home. At least they're not coming home to riot, so that's good.
But Pat, you look at, I watched nearly every inning of the doubleheader knowing we're going to do the show today. And also for a diversion tactic as well. But, Pat, they didn't score a run in a freaking doubleheader.
No, they did not.
And the other part about this, you look at all the aspects of this organ or of this team as it stands today. They can't manufacture a run. They're an they're built for an all or nothing. And I know that that's the modern game, which I absolutely despise. But they can't manufacture a run. Their defense outside of Buxton is abysmal. And
without Simmons playing, it's not very good.
And I mean, look at the play Sano tried to make yesterday, where it was a simple grounder where he was trying to go to second. Well, he drops the ball. He can't even pick it up to get one out at first base. Mm-hmm. He has become such a liability that he does not deserve a spot in the lineup. No. He just doesn't, Pat.
No, and yesterday when they took him out, you were thinking, okay, left-handed pitcher, he's not replacing him because he wants to here, so a little tight hamstring. But I really think it's an excuse. It would be a good excuse to
put him on
DL
it.
Him,
yep.
And then rehab him.
Yep.
And then, because you're going to have starting May 4th, you have minor league baseball. And, starting mm-hmm. the Saints yep. start playing May 4th, which, by the way, we have no publicity about what's going on.
Because they're still in spring training,
they're
right?
They're in Fort Myers. Yeah. We don't have any idea what's going on at Fort Myers because there's no media down there covering it, really, like we normally would. We'd still be there for Twins spring training, sure. So we'd be writing something. We don't know what the hell's going on in Fort Myers with the minor league teams. And this would be an excuse to put him on a 10-day DL and then give him 20 days of rehab in AAA or AA or someplace or even Fort Myers and try to get him straightened out. Right. I think you can only make it 20. Maybe it can only be 20 days. But I thought you could put him on a DL for 10 and then rehab him for another 20 or something like that. I don't know. There is a rehab procedure.
So what do you do?
But something's got to be done. I don't know.
You can't
keep running them out
when
there.
When you're getting blown away by Manea, I'm sorry. You're cooked.
No chance, And left-handers, he's got good stuff.
But he's topping out at 92.
That's the only thing Sano can hit as a lefty who doesn't throw terribly hard, and he couldn't hit him. And I don't know. He's a disaster. Nelson is, he's still a threat, but he's not, he's a year older. He looks a year older.
I think he's a guy, though, that he'll snap. I've got faith in him snapping out of it.
If thing comes along.
That you need to be worried about is Polanco.
Yeah.
He is not hitting well at all.
Yeah, I don't know what that is about, in the one year he took the vitamins and then he had,
well, then he was an all-star.
All the testing, he was an all-star. And, it does not look good. Kepler, everybody takes a step back year so far.
Mm-hmm.
And, now it's, 16 games. But as I was tweeting up a storm last night, pointing out that, they have the same record as the Tigers, and I foresee a season-long battle between these two teams. I don't know. The vibe is terrible.
Well, the vibe is terrible. Outside of Arraez, who had a four-hit game on, Sunday that he had the four-hit game?
Yeah.
Nobody in the lineup is really producing all that well. And I get it. It's a function, too, of just the modern game. Again, I'm going to point that out. But you even look at the kids that they're bringing up.
Rooker is
a disaster at the plate.
Rooker, for 3 weeks in spring training, all you did was, now it's spring training, obviously, but all you did was say, this guy's got to be on the team. He's killing it. He's hitting the ball the right field. He's doing everything. Now he's got zero chance. He's Sano. He's a little smaller Sano. And by the way, left field is, it's time. The time has arrived when they get home to put Kirilloff in the lineup.
Yes.
Either at first or left field. Now, the one game he played in left field, it would have been nice if he would have caught one of those pop-ups.
I don't think Kenta Maeda was terribly happy with him.
The second one, you got the wave of the arms in the air. That's never a good sign.
No.
And, But I don't think they got a choice. Rooker can't hit, Sano can't hit. You got to say, okay, this guy's a. It's almost time to start saying, what, you know, we got to see some of the youth here. It's almost time.
Yeah.
You got to see.
Well, they need some juice.
Kirilov's 24. He's like 24. It's not like you're calling up a minor leaguer, but you got to put him in a lineup. And,
You got to keep Buxton in the lineup.
Next time they, Jake Cave, God love him. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Let that Celestino come up and be your backup center fielder and see if he can do anything.
Now, remind me, what did they do with Wade? They traded him?
They traded him to the San Francisco. And I'm glad they gave him a chance. I don't even know if he's on our club, but they traded him for that Sean Anderson.
Okay, got it.
But Lamont is a great kid, but he's not, he can get a walk and do some things.
But he can play the outfield well, is what I was getting at.
He's okay. He's not a big wide-ranging
outfielder. All you need to know about Brent Rooker potentially playing outfield is did you see the play where he was in right yesterday? I can't remember if it was the first game or the second game. They all of the nonsense bled together, but it was Lowry at second base. Pat, Rooker... I know he had the wind in his face. I get that. He wasn't halfway to the warning track. He caught the ball behind him, took three steps to getting throwing position, and then threw a three-hopper to third base. I thought, who taught this kid how to play outfield?
Yeah.
What a joke.
He's probably more of a first baseman, but he can't hit is the problem. I mean, as I remember right in the spring, as an outfielder, Brent Rooker is a pretty good hitter, is what I say.
Yeah, right.
And he's basically a Willingham, but not quite as professional, as far as being in the outfield. But, if he can't hit, there's no point in having him
in the lineup.
He's been brutal.
Right.
This is the bash the Twins segment of Ricey and Reavers, but there's really nothing else.
They're
you can
in
do.
Last place, and I get it. It's still April 21st. Yes. I get all that, but this is a bad sign.
Yeah, yesterday six singles and a double, right? They had eight hits. They had seven singles and a double.
And let's keep one thing in mind. I mean, I think Oakland at the end of the day is going to be a pretty good ball club.
Well, they won 10 in a row. Remember when we were all making fun of them?
They're always there at the end.
They were awful to start the season. They lost their first six or seven, right? Mm-hmm. And Houston, remember Houston beat them as bad as they wanted to the first four games of the season. They went out and bashed them. And everybody was saying, hey, Houston's pretty good. Look out for that lineup. They're not in last place. But things happen. But this club right now, Donaldson, they're so hard up yesterday, they let Donaldson play both games.
That's a good point.
Simmons, you still like him, but he's obviously goofy,
And what's the deal with, when does he come? Is it like a DL stint with this?
Well, it depends upon when he's tests positive for a certain, tests negative for a certain
He has to have, what, three of them? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know how long before he comes back. Polanco is terrible. And Sano is unusable. And, Garver and Jeffers there's no punch there between those two guys. Jeffers is overmatched as a hitter. And Garver is a little better than he was last year, but he's still not killing the ball.
And the frustrating part about
Kepler's what he was in 2020 instead of what he was in 2019.
Right.
Buxton's, good, but. Who knows how often he's going to play? And right now they don't have a left fielder.
And what's the
Arise is their best player by far.
And the troubling part too is, Berríos goes out there in a doubleheader, gives you exactly what you're going to need, and they still couldn't give him any run support.
No,
and he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was good, but I think this all started when they decided to. They had two seven-inning games, and they decided to go with Maeda and Berríos both last week. And my theory was, You're going to have to slap one together, right? Here, yeah. Eventually. Slap one of the bullpen games. Slap
for seven
one,
innings instead of a nine-inning game.
Slap one of the seven-inning games right. together and then pitch Berríos in the—
Because we're 6-3 in nine-inning games.
Yes, yeah. Yes, right. So,
but you know what, Pat?
It's awful.
I came to a conclusion over the weekend when the Twins and Angels were postponed. Because I love the West Coast weekend series. But I thought, well, there we go. So I was flipping around. I got to tell you, I am so glad to see the new rivalry in baseball, because it's not going to matter because the Dodgers are going to win it all anyway.
The Dodgers-Padres,
that is a good, healthy, they hate each other rivalry. I watched a lot of that.
Pizzazz going already, huh?
They got Kershaw to start barking at him.
Because, and it's funny, it's like the Dodgers are, they've been the poor stepchildren of the Dodgers for their entire right. existence. So I suppose the Dodgers don't like the fact that, what are they doing down here? They're usually—
They're our doormat. Yeah,
they're cheap spenders. Every time they put something good together, they end up trading. They get the next owner comes in and cuts it down to nothing.
Right.
You're the only team in that town.
Yeah.
San Diego, you're the only pro team in that town. You got a minor league hockey team. You don't have an NBA team. You don't have a football team anymore. I think the guy, who's ever owns them now, to go out and decide to spend money does see the opportunity. Mm-hmm. This can be a baseball town because we don't have anything else.
When we were out there a couple of weeks
ago, they should be filling that place if they start getting.
And the weekend that we were there, all three games were sold out. I mean, I think it was 10,000 or whatever, just under 10,000. But Pat, we went to, they had this great outdoor mall that's not far from the ballpark, maybe about 5-10 miles from the ballpark. And of course, we had to go to Legoland. We got the kids. But I went to the sporting goods store just to kind of see what the popular items were. And they had their giant hat rack. And it's half Padres, half Dodgers.
Is that right?
Yes.
But it will be interesting. I've been there. My son was, Jim was at Camp Pendleton for a few years. So we'd go out and we'd go to a Padres, you know, and his big buddy worked down in San Diego and was a big Padres fan. He'd been out there, you know, as a Marine, but he'd been out at Pendleton, and then he worked in San Diego, and he and his wife became big Padres fans. So I went to several Padre games several summers in a row going out to visit Jim. And it'd be funny. You go there on a gorgeous Sunday afternoon, and there'd be 23,000, and a third of them would be free military because they let military in on Sunday afternoons. And if you wear your uni, so you'd be— it'd be full of Marines and you know they're in their
And this is the old ballpark?
No, this is
new. Oh, this is Petco.
Ballpark,
okay,
but they weren't, you know, they were like year four in Petco and they weren't packing it. You know, they drew like hell when they went to the World Series and, you know, the year with the Cubs and stuff, but they've never just drawn great routinely, just because they're the Padres. But now there's no excuse not to. If you put a decent product on the field, they should be there. You're the only team in town. Now, consider this. The Twins would be really popular if there was
no
Vikings.
no
Wild. No, they don't even have a soccer MLS team in San Diego. No MLS team. Now, you'd want to have the Timberwolves because that would make you look good, right?
They'd be the barometer. Of course.
They'd say, well, at least they're better than the Timberwolves. You know, if the Twins were having a disappointing year, they'd say, well, we still love the Twins because they're not the Timberwolves. You're right. That should be fun. If the Padres decide to have the 200 and some million-dollar payroll and go for it. Let's go.
Well, and I was looking at, I think it might have been the Saturday night game that I was watching on, and I think, was that MLB Network must have ran the whole thing on Saturday night. Well, in any event, they were kind of talking about, you know, how they built the team and all the transactions and whatnot. Do you know who could also be on this team with all the talent that they had? I think they still have the number one minor league system in all of baseball, if not. Mm-hmm. They're in the top five at least. But do you know who else could be on that Padres team right now?
Yes, I do know who could be on that team. The lad with the White Sox.
No, because remember, they gave Shields.
Oh, no, that's right.
How they got Tatis Jr.
Excuse me, I'm screwed up. Who?
Trey Turner. They had Trey Turner, and he was a part of that big four-team deal with Tampa and obviously Washington. Somebody else I'm forgetting, but they got Will Myers in that deal.
I got new news for you.
Yep.
Trey Turner wouldn't be their shortstop.
No.
He'd have to find someplace else to play.
He'd be playing second base.
Yes, okay. That's what I was screwed up on.
Because the White Sox could still have Tatis.
Who would make that lineup pretty good.
Yeah, but I was thinking about that going, are you kidding me? They could also have Trey Turner on this team. Because Will Myers has been okay.
I'd like to hear about San Diego Sports Talk Radio. Are they talking about the NFL draft, or are they talking about the Padres?
I did tune in a little bit on my, and now granted, this was Sunday morning sports talk that when I was driving back here. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about the weekend series against the Diamondbacks a little bit, but then it was, who are the Chargers going to draft in the first
even
round?
Even though they're not here anymore. Yeah. Even though they left us.
We need a left tackle, and Minnesota's right behind us. It was that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, and the quarterbacks. Was it a good idea to bring in Matthew Stafford? You know.
Well, the Chargers got the kid from Oregon, Herbert.
You know,
the big stud from
Oregon.
But the
Chargers aren't in San Diego anymore. You should hate them.
Well, I think it's a 50-50 split, just based upon what I was seeing.
Oh, the conversation.
You know, people would have the Charger flags, and then people would also have the Charger flag with a big red line through it, you know, saying, I'm done supporting that club. But
well,
what a great spot.
Five or six of my best trips ever, non-family, were when the Dark Man and I went out.
For the Super Bowl?
No.
Oh.
We would go out to La Costa.
Oh, yeah.
For like 5 days. The week of the Eddie Reed handicap at Del Mar. Because we got to go to the Eddie Reed, you know. No idea who Eddie Reed was.
No, wait, did you scam your way for the strip to say, I got to cover this?
No. This was Dark and I on a trip. And we'd stay at La Costa for like 4 nights and then maybe stay in a hotel one night and fly out. But we'd stay at La Costa, play golf every morning, and go to Del Mar. And then, at least twice during the trip, we'd go to Tijuana to watch highlight, because Dark had to get, this was in Tijuana, was, you know, there was a 50% chance you wouldn't get shot. So we'd go to the highlight, a fronton, they call it, fronton.
Okay.
And there was so few people there that if you bet like $10, the odds had changed, you know.
Okay,
that was
sure.
bet. But Dark loved High Lie, because when he was a young man, he lived out there for a number of years.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Worked at Riviera in the bag room, basically, at Riviera.
Okay.
But we'd go to Tijuana and watch. So that was a day, at least. Two of the days were golf at La Costa, horse racing at Del Mar,
oh, man.
And High Lie in Tijuana with the rent-a-car that said, do not take this rent-a-car to Mexico. You know, boom.
The siren goes off once you cross the border.
You know, we'd always take the car to Mexico. But and then one night he'd find some restaurant, or we'd eat at La Costa or some game. But,
sure.
But I mean, La Costa was a great old club for old Jewish guys who basically lived on the grounds, and one of them was Sid Gilman,
okay.
who was the first coach of the Chargers, Minneapolis North, buddy of Sid's,
really
buddy of Sid's, Minneapolis North, and like the genius of the passing game, one of the 50s. And early, I think he was the Ohio State offensive coordinator, and then he ended up with the Chargers. I might not have been the first coach, but he was the first successful coach when they were
still
throwing
in the AFL.
Ball over.
Yeah, okay.
But we'd sit in there in the sauna with Sid and hear stories for like an hour and a half of them about Sid, but Dark and Dark and Sid Gilman were big buddies, but there were some bad bods in that sauna, though.
I could imagine.
Dark man, me, old Jewish guys with their junk hanging out. It was it was an interesting trip every year, but we did it 5 or 6 years.
There is nothing better than when you go on the beaches, whether it's Coronado or any, and you get to some of the really big dollar beaches, and you can see the old money, and you can tell who's living there and who's there visiting.
Yes, you know? Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, I think Marv and Harve both had places on Del Coronado.
Did they really?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they had. Yeah, they go out there.
If I had that money, I'd probably have a space out
there,
too. Now,
Marv would stay and watch watch his basketball team, you know. So he didn't go out there as much. But Harv would say, I'm not watching this. He'd go out.
Send me a text.
Yeah, send me a tell him. I wasn't even texting.
Oh, yeah, try. Send me an email, whatever.
Send me a telegram telling me how bad we lost tonight. So anyway, yeah, those were always, that was a trip. And we'd go to High Line a couple times, and we go to a couple of Padres games too. You know,
sure.
If I think we drove up Dodger Stadium once because when he was out there as a young guy, Sid, he went to the Dodger games all the time.
Because what's the proximity? Because Anaheim Stadium's further north, right, than Dodger Stadium, isn't it?
Oh no, it's
or is it the opposite?
It's south. Yeah, Anaheim's right up the road. You know,
so Dodger Stadium's further north.
Yeah, Dodger's way up north.
Okay.
So, and you know, like one of the five greatest. Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm, is when he got the hooker, the large hooker gal, to ride with him to Dodger Stadium so he could get in the HOV lane. And then he ended up getting, she became a recurring character, and he ended up getting in her life, you know, getting in the middle of her life.
Oh, my God.
But that was just to beat traffic going to the Dodger games because it's incredible. But, man alive.
Wasn't that also?
That'd be fun to go to California and see a Dodgers get in.
Oh,
Dodger.
That would be fun.
I think they've spent a lot of money on Dodger Stadium. They've done some stuff with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Or they're in the process.
Well, wasn't that... the year that when we were still on the radio, the year that they were playing the Astros, because they opened the World Series at Dodger Stadium and the temp was 102, and you said, the World Series is starting too early.
Yes,
we
right.
We have to push
That's
it back.
Right. We can't be having the World Series. We got to have it later in November.
I think that was with Timmy. You said that's how you introduced Timmy, and he gave us the Timmy chuckle, of course. Uh-huh. Timmy, the World Series is starting too early.
Well, anyway.
Our synopsis is we stinks.
Yeah, we stinks. Hey, Town Ball, are we playing this weekend?
We actually have our first scrimmage this Saturday against... the hated Morristown Mories, Patrick.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Morristown made the state tournament. Was it last year or 2 years ago that they made the state tournament? That was one of
How's their ballpark?
It's a town ballpark.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. But you know what? They've
been at it a long time.
Well, you talked to their guy. Their guy, Kyle Green, who's my age. He's the catcher that you interviewed.
Oh, really? Right.
Was that last? Yeah, last year for the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right.
And if there's a better description of a town baseball player than Kyle Green, he's 44. He's still catching, and he's running the ball club with two young kids.
Yeah.
That's your town ball player right there.
And you've got the good wife.
Oh, know? Yeah. She's a Faribault girl. That's why.
The most important... factor in a long, successful town ball career is a wife who doesn't hate it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Otherwise, you get divorced.
Well, Pat, so we had our practice last week, and about 5 years ago, there was only two of us, the preacher and myself, that had a child, okay?
Yeah.
Because Jess was still pregnant with Leland at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went from having two young kids, his oldest son and my William, to now we had practice and there was about 30 of them running around.
It is amazing the number of town ballers who quit at age 28 because of their wives having babies and they got to help. And they're either back at 32 with the wife's approval or they're divorced. One of the two. Yes, but they're always back.
Oh, yes.
They're always...
It's like a drug and you know it.
Yes, that's true. All right, Twins. You know, they're here with Pittsburgh this weekend. Should be another battle. One team who's over and under going into the year was 58 against the Twins, who we might settle for 68 right now. We stinks for the man, for at least for the moment. For the moment. All right, we'll be back. Ricey here with Canopy Group Facts. Fact one, the Canopy Group writes more business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. How is this possible? Let's share the other facts for you to understand. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies, that leave you at risk for 2 premium increases per year. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers 1 deductible at claim time, not 2, 3, 4, or even more. Fact five, every year the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies. Captive insurance agencies can't shop that way for you because guess what? They only have one company to deal with. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get the options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
This is Reavers once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And Josh has a very basic question for you. Do you know what you own? You see, Mr. Money Talk's clients, and that's Josh Arnold, by the way, they always know what they own. He has found out that most people that he meets with every single day, they have no idea. Josh has seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds, and there are real instances of people that are paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that these bonds currently yield. Josh begs of you, know what you own. You see, trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Take it from me that you can trust Josh. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. Call him at 952-925-5600. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
For a beautiful lawn all season long, spring to fall, log on to professionalturf.com. You do that, you're going to be able to schedule this free no-obligation estimate where a ProTurf Pro is going to walk your lawn and then design a 3-4 application treatment that they apply throughout the summer that gets rid of the weeds, keeps your yard thick and luscious, and it's that way until the snow flies again. Applications that are safe for you, the family, pets, the environment, those kids that always cross your yard that you're yelling at, it's even safe for them. All you have to do is water and mow, and I mean mow a lot. It really works. The GL staff is all signed up. 90% of you GLers are signed up. You should too. It's more popular than a COVID shot, and it's the best thing you could do for the health of your lawn. ProfessionalTurf.com.